Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. We're here again trying to make sense of the operational chaos that is the CMI League, turning it into something useful for you.
Yeah, useful intelligence, hopefully.
Right. This is actually our sixth deep dive this season, 6 weeks down. And you can really feel it, can't you? The records are tightening up.
Oh, yeah.
Mid-season panic is definitely setting in for some managers. And the analysis, well, it's clear. Chaos is here.
It really is. Maybe more than just chaos. It feels like statistical volatility. We're past the quarter mark now.
A key point.
And the whole league structure feels really pressurized. So our mission today is basically to sift through the wreckage of week six.
Wreckage feels appropriate.
It was a bit of a, well, statistical depravity in places. Mm-hmm. We need to figure out the strategic shifts, not just who won or lost, but, you know, whose success looks repeatable.
And who just got lucky.
Exactly. Who survived purely on luck this time around.
Yeah. Okay. So the big picture for you listening, we saw some mid-tier teams fight their way back to .500, which really shakes things up.
Huge for the standings.
And we saw one absolutely massive score, like total domination. And at the same time, another team just cratered, hit rock bottom with a score in the 60s.
Oof.
So the standings, they're not just showing contenders now. They're creating these real pressure points across the league. Okay, let's unpack it. Starting with the extremes.
Makes sense. And for week six, you have to start at the very top, the ceiling. That belongs to the unluckies.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. They just detonated, posted a phenomenal 147.0 points.
147. And you look at their opponent, the Great Unwashed, who only scraped together 74.0.
Right.
That's a 73-point gap. That's not just a win. That's a message. It shows the massive difference between those rosters this week.
It absolutely does. Yeah. And the Unluckies win, it was fueled by this like perfect storm of running back performance.
You mean Rico Dowdle?
Well, yeah, Rico Dowdle didn't just have a good game. He like exploded for 37 points.
37.
And you pair that with Josh Jacobs, who battled for another 29.5.
Okay, so that's what? Nearly 67 points from just two running backs?
67 points, yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't just, oh, nice win. This kind of score, it shifts your whole points for momentum for the season. It proves that roster has serious, serious top-end potential.
And speaking of top-end individual dominance, we saw the single highest player score all season this week, didn't we?
We did. You got to give it up for Bijan Robinson.
Absolutely nuclear. 40.0 points on the nose. That secured the win for the Justin Johnsons.
40 points from one player. That's rare air. It basically defines the whole matchup strategy right there.
Which naturally brings us to the other end of the scale.
Right.
Where that kind of success was just unthinkable.
Right. Rock bottom. The dubious honor goes to Ertz Vents IP.
Ouch. A 69.0 point dud.
Yeah. It's not just low. It's like, aww. Well, you put it best earlier. Trying to power a Tesla with a potato battery. It fits, though, right? Because it was just a complete outage almost everywhere.
Almost. There was one flicker of light. Yeah. You have to mention Christian McCaffrey still got his 19.5 points. But okay, if your supposed superstar gets you almost 20.
Which is decent. Yeah.
Decent, yeah. But the rest of the team only manages, what, 49.5 points combined?
It immediately raises that strategic question, doesn't it? Is McCaffrey's high floor just hiding, like, total incompetence everywhere else. Roster rot.
Exact. If one guy is covering up that much weakness, that team is fundamentally broken. They're just praying for weekly miracles.
Precisely. And they weren't totally alone down there in the basement. Find yourself a CD, put up a really rough 60.5 points.
60.5. Wow, that's one of the lowest scores we've seen all year.
It really is. And it led to just a crushing blowout loss against a genie man and a scholar who scored 125.0.
Right. And what's interesting there is how a genie man got it done. It wasn't one guy. It was efficient scoring across positions. Drake London with 32.
Big game from him.
And Jalen Hurts adding 20. That kind of separation, you know, getting high 20s, low 30s for multiple spots. That's what turns a simple win into a blowout. It signals a deeper roster.
A resilient roster.
Yeah.
Okay. So moving up from the depths. Despite all that scoring chaos, the top of the standings is what's incredibly tight.
It really is. That elite group, it's now five teams deep, all sitting at 4-2 after week six.
Five deep.
You've got Fred Durst still holding on to first place. Then the Justin Johnsons in second. The Unluckies jumped up to third after that huge week.
Yep.
Find yourself a CD. Somehow, despite that terrible score, is hanging on in fourth. And Homer's Gyros rounds out the top five.
So that 4-2 mark, that's kind of the new benchmark for being a contender. But we need to look under the hood a bit, those underlying numbers. they challenge that idea of everyone being equal in that top five.
Yeah, good point. Fred Durst keeps that top spot. He's showing really elite consistency, right? Still leads the league in points for 764.4.
Way out in front.
And this week, it was his veterans carrying the load again. Mahomes with 32, Pickens had a huge game, 31.5, and Taylor chipped in 27.
Solid.
Durst is just operating with that like smug serenity of a manager who built a team on high floor guys. And honestly, he's earning that serenity right now.
But what's really fascinating strategically is the difference within that 4-2 group. They all have the same record, sure.
Yeah.
But the points for gap
is huge.
It is huge. Durst leads with 764.4. Homer's Gyros in fifth place with the same 4-2 record is way down at 694.8. points for.
Okay, that's a 70-point difference. Wow.
70 points.
So if Durst is running away with the points for title, how much pressure does that put on a team like Homer's Gyros, you know, heading into the middle of the season?
Immense pressure.
Yeah.
Especially on their, let's call it luck index.
Yeah.
That 70-point gap. It strongly suggests that Homer's Gyros, and maybe Find Yourself a CD too, just scored 60, remember?
Right.
They might be winning closer games or maybe beating up on weaker teams. Their 4-2 record could be built more on fortunate matchups than, you know, sustained dominance.
So fragile.
Very fragile. Which raises big questions about their sustainability long term, especially with bye weeks coming up and tougher opponents potentially on the schedule.
Yeah.
They're winning, yes, but maybe hanging on by a thread.
That idea of fragility, that's key as we look at the middle of the pack, too. The movers and shakers there,
specifically
the teams that managed to fight back to level ground.
Yeah, and the biggest climb, strategically speaking, has to be the ragtag misfits.
Oh, yeah.
They pulled off a really gritty, high-scoring win against Homer's Gyros, actually, 128.5 to 122.0.
Wow, a barn burner.
It really was. Yeah. And that win pulls the misfits up to 3-3. That's a crucial record to hit right now. It's a real mid-table heavyweight fight.
And looking at the misfits, that win really hinged on JSN, didn't it? He put up a massive 34 points.
Huge score from him. That wasn't just a big game. That felt like JSN finally delivering on the potential everyone's been waiting for.
Right. Validates the patience the manager showed early on.
Totally. So the misfits, they're now officially, I think, the most dangerous .500 team out there. Kind of a dumpster fire running on rocket fuel.
Huh. I like that. Capable of huge scores, but maybe not totally reliable week to week.
Exactly. And you see the flip side with Homer's Gyros in that loss. They got solid games from Skidabo. 30 points. Kyron Williams added 23.
Some good numbers.
Right. But they still lost, which tells you their depth, or maybe their lower end starters, just couldn't keep up when the Misfits top guy went off like that.
So scoring 122 and losing means you ran into a buzzsaw, basically.
Pretty much. But it also might mean the gap between your best players and the rest of your lineup is just too wide sometimes.
Okay. Then we had the, let's just call it the battle of bad names. Hamstrokers Ejaculators scoring 103.5.
Yeah.
Managed to just squeak by the halftime Hummers, who put up 93.5.
So Devin Achane continues to be a bright spot. 33 points for the Ejaculators. Kevin Vidal chipped in 26.5. That gets them to 2-4. Finally, something positive for that manager.
But for the Hummers, man, another brutal, close loss.
It really is. They got a great game from the Denver DST, 19 points.
Yeah.
But relying on your defense for that big a chunk of your score.
Risky strategy.
Very precarious. The rest of the team just couldn't get them over the hump. They seem stuck in that close loss curse again this week.
Okay, looking down even further, we got to talk about the absolute seller. The great unwashed.
Yeah.
Now firmly locked in last place at 2-4. And carrying the league's lowest points for total, and it's not even close, 576.1 PF.
Oof. That PF number, it's not just bad luck. That's evidence of a systemic problem with roster construction.
You think so?
I do.
Yeah.
That manager has to be looking at their team now and realizing, you know, drastic measures are needed, maybe a full rebuild. When you're that far below the league median in scoring, patience isn't really a virtue anymore. It's almost negligence.
Harsh, but probably true. But the great unwashed, they're not alone down there with that losing record. It's a huge logjam at 2-4.
It really is.
How many teams? Five of them. A Genteeman and a Spoiler, Halftime Hummers, Hamstrokers Ejaculators, Jackalope Society, and the great unwashed. All sitting there at 2-4.
Wow, five teams.
All desperately trying to claw their way out before that basement door slams shut.
And if you connect that to the bigger picture, that kind of logjam at 2-4, it really sets the stage for some serious managerial tension.
How so?
Well, we know managers are dealing with busy schedules this time of year, right? Autumn's always packed. The season's grind just keeps going.
True.
So these five managers, they're basically in this intense pressure cooker. Every waiver claim they make, every trade they try to negotiate, every single start-sit decision, it becomes this high-stakes gamble to break free over the next few weeks.
And here's where it gets really interesting for everyone, not just those teams. Because that logistical nightmare of the midseason, it's right on the doorstep.
You mean the bye weeks?
Exactly. We're staring right down the barrel of the bye week starting to hit hard, and that changes absolutely everything strategy-wise. The margin for error just shrinks dramatically.
Especially for those teams with the lower points for totals that we talked about.
Right.
Absolutely. This is the stretch where the true depth of your bench gets tested. It's why that PF differential matters so much. Getting through this period, it takes thick skin and it takes nimble grace.
Nimble grace. I like that.
You got to manage those flex spots, figure out how to survive without dropping valuable players just to fill a gap for 1 week.
So, okay, as the season gets, let's be honest, nastier, sweatier, and maybe somehow dumber.
Probably.
Remember this continuity we've been tracking. Every single team, even the ones struggling, has shown they can explode. We saw the Unluckies hit 147 this week. We saw Bijan drop 40.
Their potential is always there.
It is. So for you listening, you just got to hold on to that nimble grace, be strategic, and push through this bi-week chaos that's coming.
It really is the stretch that separates the, you know, the tactical managers from the ones who just react week to week.
Well said. And as you get ready for week 7... here's maybe a final provocative thought for you to chew on, thinking about how fragile success can be in this league.
Okay.
What actually happens with a team? Like, find yourself a CD. They've got that elite 4-2 record, right? But they keep posting these bottom tier scores, like that 60.5 this week.
Yeah, it's a real disconnect.
So were those first four wins just like a statistical fluke, an easy schedule, or is their bench maybe deep enough to actually weather this storm to justify that record, even when their luck inevitably cools off?
That's the question.
That tightrope walk, you know?
Mm.
Between luck and actual performance, that's going to be the central tension we'll be watching very closely next week.
Yep.